This is your KVNF Regional Newscast for Friday, July 24th. I'm Brody Wilson, in for Audrey McCabe. Happy Friday, everybody. The Gold Mountain Fire is continuing to burn at over 38,000 acres with 24% containment. Heavy precipitation was seen across the region on Wednesday and Thursday, with some areas near Montrose receiving 2 or 3 inches of rainfall. Officials said that had that amount fallen over portions of the fire area that experienced higher intensity burning, it could have increased the flash flooding risk for mudslides and debris flows. Fortunately, the fire area received around 1/4 of an inch of precipitation, with some localized higher amounts. The cooler, wetter conditions kept fire activity to a minimum, allowing firefighters to focus on securing containment lines and completing suppression repair work. Although crews avoided the strongest storms, muddy conditions created challenges across much of the incident. With no swing shift or night operations scheduled overnight, crews had a rare opportunity to rest before returning to the line this morning to continue their work across the fire. And the conditions on the Elk Fire have also continued to improve. Firefighters are reportedly making great progress on control and contingency lines around the fire. Given the current and predicted fire conditions and weather, the Hinsdale County Sheriff's Office has issued a change to the evacuation zones for the Elk Fire. Effective at 8:30 yesterday morning, zones 4, 6, 12, 13, 14, and 16 have all evacuation statuses rescinded. Residents in these zones are encouraged to remain alert and aware of their surroundings as fire conditions can rapidly change. The City of Delta is looking into creative ways to revitalize the old Delta Municipal Light and Power Building on South Main Street. The Delta County Independent reports that the city is planning to collaborate with the Colorado Brownfields Partnership, or CBP, to revitalize the building. CBP operates under the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment, or CDPHE. Delta Community Development Manager Joe Gilman told the Independent that CBP operates under the mission of helping communities find creative ways to revitalize abandoned or underused properties so that they're an economic asset to the community, not just idle buildings. Gilman says that the city's been working with CBP and CDPHE for 8 months now. CBP provided a specific action plan and a marketing opportunity study. The planning assistance project is fully funded by CDPHE and would require no cost to the city. Throughout this week, Montrose has hosted a variety of events, demonstrations, activities, and competitions as part of its 140th County Fair and Rodeo. Montrose County says it's proud to sponsor this long-standing community tradition and celebrate the incredible young people who make it so special. From countless hours of hard work with livestock and projects to showcase their talents in the arena, this year's participants have demonstrated dedication, responsibility, and perseverance. The professional rodeo will be held this Saturday at 7 p.m., preceded by the crowning of the royalty and a show by the San Juan Sparkles and Spurs, a local equestrian drill team. You can find out more at MontroseCountyFairAndRodeo.com. In recent weeks, there have been 4 firefighter deaths. As the Mountain West News Bureau's Murphy Wardhouse reports, a new handbook seeks to help firefighters and their families cope with the challenges every dangerous season brings.
Olivia Holter is a Utah-based licensed psychologist whose husband is a wildland firefighter. Last year, their young son was playing with a toy helicopter when the danger of the fire line suddenly became clear and overwhelmed him.
I was like, wow, this is a potentially traumatic event for our son. And I started kind of digging into what resources were out there and really realizing that there's nothing for families.
That's exactly what the advocacy group Fired Up was responding to with its new Wildland Firefighter Family Handbook. It's a practical guide for firefighter partners, containing everything from a glossary of fire line terms to tips when a parent is gone most of the summer. Holter authored the mental health section.
I want to normalize the emotions.
Feeling anxious, she says, is a normal response when your partner is on a fire without cell service. And there are also things you can do to better cope with those feelings. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Murphy Woodhouse.
A dismal snowpack and fast spring melt are putting the Southwest's farms to the test this growing season. Western Colorado's peach orchards are trying to get by with less water, but even one especially dry year can have long-lasting effects. Rocky Mountain Community Radio's Caroline Yanis has more from one orchard in Palisade.
It's getting warm in Palisade, Colorado, as Bruce Talbot meanders through rows of peach trees with just a look. He can tell how many days until a peach should be picked, whether its pit is split, and whether you'll want to buy it at the grocery store.
See those, they'll pick both of those because you're that color, orange color. That's what they're looking for. And that one's a good sound peach.
He's one of the owners of Talbot Farms, one of Colorado's largest peach growers, which his family has operated for over a century. They have around 200,000 trees, and each year they plant about 5,000 more as older orchards become less productive. All that is to say, Talbot knows a thing or two about peaches.
Appearance sells the first peach, flavor sells the second peach. So if it doesn't taste good, they're not getting another one.
But this has been an extraordinarily challenging year for Talbot and his fellow Palisade fruit growers. There was virtually no snowpack in the headwaters of the Colorado River. And when March broke records for high temperatures, what little snow there was melted off fast. That meant that Talbot started picking peaches about a month earlier than usual. Now he's worried he may not have enough water to finish out the harvest.
We have never had the canal shut off. We've had some really tight years. 77 was tight, 2002 was tight, where it was nip and tuck on whether we would finish the season or not. Right now, there's not water to do that.
And that will have impacts well beyond this season. Peach trees take a long time to grow. Talbot says he won't start pulling significant fruit off a tree to sell until it's been in the ground for 4 years. But when the water situation is so uncertain, that makes it hard to plan.
With that kind of lead time, what next winter's going to be? I've already made my decision for 27. I've made some decisions for 28 already. I can't turn on a dime.
In the past, farmers like Talbot haven't worried as much about water conservation because there was enough to go around. But now it's a bigger consideration because peaches are thirsty crops and demand for water is rising. David Sturley, a research scientist at Colorado State University who studies tree fruit, estimates that it takes about 3 feet of water per acre to grow peaches.
So they're fairly water intensive, especially compared to the amount of precipitation that we tend to get here, which I think on average is about 9 inches a year and lately has been about 5 or less.
But he says most farmers think peaches are worth the water.
The way I try to think of that is basically if you're trying to calculate per gallon of water used, how much money can you make off of it? What kind of economic impact you can have with that? And I think peaches are pretty high on that list.
He says peaches can bring in anywhere from $10,000 to $35,000 per acre, way more than alfalfa or corn. To use Talbot's phrasing,
peaches pay the bills. Peaches are as consistent as anything we grow, and the markets are as consistent.
It's why Talbot Farms has invested so heavily in its peach orchards and why he's willing to go to such great lengths to make sure his orchards survive this drought. He's thinking about contingency plans if the canals run dry before September 1st to keep his trees from dying.
We will probably be putting water in tanks, be municipal water, and dig a basin around each plant, and we're going like you would house plants and keep them alive, if at all possible.
In the longer term, Talbot knows that in the Colorado River Basin, there will be less water to go around for agriculture as the climate continues to get warmer and drier. He's hoping his high-value peaches can withstand that seismic change, but the uncertainty around water supplies is making that much more challenging.
This industry can absorb a higher cost of water than a lot of your other crops can. As long as it's there. If it's just not there, then this has to go away as well. Hope we never go that far.
In the meantime, Talbot is hoping for monsoon rains to get him to the end of the peach harvest, but he's not holding his breath. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, I'm Caroline Yanez.
That report was shared with us via Rocky Mountain Community Radio, a network of public media stations in Colorado, Wyoming, Utah, and New Mexico, including KBNF. It was produced in partnership with the Water Desk at the University of Colorado Boulder. That's your KBNF Regional Newscast for Friday, July 24th. Did you know that if you miss the KBNF Regional Newscast on air, you can always catch it online at kbnf.org or in your podcast feed at Apple Podcasts or Spotify? We hope you have a wonderful weekend. I'm Brody Wilson.